Mr. Dobson, Reel 13. So you were at this camp for 2 weeks. And after that?
Moved farther up.
How did you move farther up?
This was behind the lines, you know, not very far behind the lines.
How did you move up? Was it a train journey?
No, it was wagons, you know,
Was this a camp?
No, it was just on a hill. All the time was spread out over the hills.
Do you remember the name of the hill?
No, I can't remember the hill. I used to know it.
What was the terrain like?
Very good. We had a limit to the interwar curve, which is very mountainous.
How far was it from this other camp that you'd been to?
About 2 miles, maybe farther. No, it wasn't far from the front end. You could hear the rooms more up there.
But you weren't actually in the front line.
When I was there, can I tell it to you? A man sitting as the down the road, you used to come through Gloucester Valley. And it was a bad accident. Well, I tell you, and some of the lads had to go down there, try and sort out. And then the sniper was a work had his leg. That was off, like, you know. And I went from my mother. And it was a guy from Bullwood, George Hopkirk. He lost his leg. And I don't know, it was an accident. And when I got the note back from England, and it happened there, I was, I know, I could have gone down there.
Did you see the accident then?
Yeah, he was sitting on the hill, and there was a big crash. It was like a balloon.
So what was the train like in general then?
Yeah, I think we didn't do much because we went there going on, we just went up and down after that. I think it was just to get the tent guys living underground and that, didn't we? There wasn't a lot of trenches and that, I remember. Can I tell you about it? It's the best toilet I've ever been in. Maybe at the end of it. And it was behind a couple of clothes there. And when we were sitting, it was a shoe drop, but it was a valley. And it was safe when it stopped in the woods there. It's a thing that sticks in my mind that I didn't see, but it's in North Korea, I understand. But we weren't there very long, before we moved over there.
Can you remember how long you were there?
It was Gloucester Valley. Gloucester Valley was up there. And we did get a chance, a few of them did have a image up there, wasn't it? And this was supposed to be the Chinese getting up behind the Augustus, and almost we were fit to try. And couldn't be there.
That's too steep.
I've never seen any of it. But it was steep. And I did see it. And I revisited it a little way back. Yeah, I wasn't actually on that part, like I was far up with it. I was in Gloucester Valley. And I heard it differently. I don't know, it must have been mountains or something. You know. But I say we weren't there very long, like.
And you say you were living out in trenches, so it was a trenched area, was it?
Yeah, it was a trenched area.
And this was trenches up on the hills?
Yeah. And the town was all spread over the hills and that, very quickly.
So it was a kind of holding area behind the front line?
Yeah, the advanced party, I think, one of the good managers to prepare for the time we were looking at. So it's just a matter of days, really. Will that happen? I don't know if they're going.
And the enemy, do you know how far in front they were? Was it still a defensive position? You mentioned this trench that you had back near towards the camp that you'd seen. Was it similar to that? Was it barbed wired?
It wasn't quite as bad as that. It was just like a stopping off really before you went into the end. It was a bit like the same thing with deers. And it was just like a road here. So we were ready for the end of that and still grew up.
And you were living out in the open there?
Oh, yes.
Were you living in Hoochies?
At least I was on the ground there. Really, the first, you know, getting used to it.
And what did you think of that? What sort of things were you doing and trying to do?
Just preparing our kidnap, you know, just getting ready, so to say. I don't think we did any maneuvers or anything there, like, you know, it was just years, I think, just preparing. Getting up to your rifle or a swimming room or whatever, getting up anything ready.
So there's no training maneuvers?
No, I can't remember doing much, no. Like I say, we had a bit of leisure time in there, and we dressed about it. So we didn't really do a lot of training there, did we? I mean, we'd done it all. We were really prepared.
So where did you move from there?
So from there, we took off the RER, the Coast Battalion.
Australians. Can you remember when that was?
Well, it must have been October or something, I think it was October or something.
It's about the October, you think?
Yeah. And I remember when I was standing in the book had been done that night. The heavens opened.
Can you describe how you took over from the Australians?
Well, I remember we had arrived up and went to these mighty wagons here again, and it was booking down. And I think this is when it really hit you, what we were doing. I think we were all frightened because when it was raining, you know, the heavens opened, and anybody was like trying to get to the battle line, going up. It was fright. There was nothing there, it was just, I think it was fright, I think. But this is sticks in my memory. And it rained right way up to the dropping off point, and we got out. And turned up, you know, different companies. We were going into the front. We were taking off from the front company of the RER. And we had a march from there, full drill in the morning, you know.
It's just night time.
Yes, you know, black dark. You had to try and keep you in the door in front of you, you know.
And you marched up as a company?
Yeah. And we were sitting down. Honestly, what a night. They reckon it was a good night to take over because you didn't know which activity going on in Australia. So I don't know whether that was right or wrong, but by the time we got up to the front line and took over from, fed up enough, you know, but we got over it.
How long does it take, the march? How far was it?
It was good. I looked at it out over an hour or so to get from reserve, couldn't up to where we are. Easy. Under the conditions.
And you knew you were going up to the front line?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you were talking before there about fear. What were the feelings generally within the unit, within your friends?
Yeah, I think you realised then that this was the new thing, because here the guns are going to be used like that. More then. and I think we realised then that was it, this was it. And back in Australia, you know, the drought the world. I don't think it was that wasn't a very heavily fortified part of the land. It was more or less just a frontier first time, you know, to get used to the US. And it was the food, you know, it was no better work on it. But I think it was one of these easy parts of it. So it wasn't, you know, but there's a lot of kilos that we've been doing, and you're blind. Shortly after getting on the hill, and he was at the moment of platoons, mortar killed him. So that was the first casualty of the bullets.
Was he in your company?
Yeah, he was in my company. And you're blind, converted. And that's called me.
And when was that?
That was when we took over.
Was it the same night? Was
it the same night?
That must have struck morale quite badly, did it?
Well, I didn't get any money to give it to the morning, you know. Well, it was like, of course, the wrong room, you know, and then we did that, mortar that killed
him. And that was enemy mortar fire?
Yeah, it was enemy. That was the first cousin.
So were you under fire as you were taking over?
No, just making water in it, you know, or coming over, or boom. Big rooms, was causing nothing badly. You know, it's a good tool. It's a good tool. And I know the witch, I went down it, I was terrible enough. And the design was completely wrong enough. We had three beds. But I just saw him doing it, you know, and the witch was swimming in the water. Because, you know, you don't mind the trench, you don't dump it.
It was dug down below trench level.
Yeah,
which side of the trench wall was it dug into?
It was all the way to the bottom of the hill, because I was in company of court, let's see. The command force was just right along.
So, how was the company organised within the line then?
Well, I was, everybody knew what they were doing, and we knew where to go there, because it was in the advanced part of the hill. So, we met them and took them to the position on the hill.
In the middle.
Yeah.
So can you just describe the terrain and the general conditions?
Well, that night was terrible.
Yeah. What was it hilly?
Oh yes, it was on the top of the hill. It wasn't one of the biggest hills, but it was big enough. You know, there were a lot of big hills really.
And where was the trench then? Relation to the hills.
Well, you had to do it around the boat, you know. So, really, you couldn't go on the top. You know, because it was silly, but you had to go around the top of the hills.
And the enemy, where were they?
Right in front of them.
The other side of the hill?
Down in the valley. No man's land. They stood on there. I think I'm right to see it, because it seemed, I don't know where this was right now, but it was one of the crack Mongolian regiments or something. That was in front of us, and went out. Just what we've been through, I don't know whether you've seen that or I've seen that for you. But obviously, I've just thrown the gear into there, and I had to go straight on to the command post, where the major man was, you know, I think. And I stood there for hours outside the kitchen, and the command post on guard. But the aunt was in water and soaking. And then they were rough. And then on the top of the trench, they were running. And I'm not telling a lie, this is true. It's really the first one I'd seen. And I see the fear of that.
What do you feel like?
I felt the love of it.
Was this the actual front line trench? Was this?
Yeah. This was it.
And your hoochie was in the back?
We were at the bottom of the line, doing company headquarters.
Where was the rest of the company headquarters?
It was three of them there, and it was somewhere just next to the farm, just in the far away from it. And the cook house was just at the bottom of the hill, you know.
Where was that then in relation to the trench?
It was just at the bottom, the bottom of the hill. We had a part of the community hill, which we found out later on, didn't we? That's where the news was cooked. If you got shared, you don't need to do anything. It just depends. But I'm going to be like when Susan Miller was like.
What was it like then? Can you describe what you saw?
Yeah, it was wet. The mud. And I looked at the little brown head was coming. And I liked not to a bit. I took that was wet to me. And I'd been hitting them off and some. And I'd put me here like, you know. And it was like a Jupiter for a little with stretches on. And after I'd been in the lead, I went on with the hitching. I'd been trying to deal with the lead. And I was dog tired. It was my turn to go to sleep, and I was on the top. So I had to climb the door because it was short of that, so it was a fair lift. I just climbed up. And I was looking up at the rooftop, and we just went off to sleep. Didn't know, I think. Really, you know, that was when it hit me where you were. Just kind of. Probably once you had to sleep. I think you saw it put on. Really, just sleep.
And what was your own little hoochie like then?
It wasn't very big for three, really. And your skin was a little bit there. I think it was a little tear of the heart. So I used to catch a good open arm, eight of it, for like an hour and a half.
And what else was in the hoochie?
We had three bunk beds. And that was about it, with the tail.
So it was just a mud hole in effect? Was there any lighting in it?
We had a candle in this. Then we did get help with that, like, yeah, the careful for lights.
What about heating?
Yeah.
No heating at all.
We did get it wrong because the wind came in. It was an invention of a lot of energy. It consisted of an empty shell. With a drip in, with a tube, under the plastic tube, like that or something. And it went up outside. And then jelly cans filled with paraffin and had on the thing of the shell was just a sort of and the inside of the shell was sand and this was the drip and it burned from the shell that was it. That was it. Now, you many times later on, you know. Most of that too, but it set fire. You couldn't do it to us then.
You've got these later on in the winter.
Yeah, that was later on, yeah, it's all that happened. So, well, I don't think we had any happen with it then, the first time we went to London. We lived for a month, it was.
No, you weren't far from the major, I take it.
Yeah, this. Yeah, the command post.
The command post. What was the command post? What did that come
from? It was a bigger one, man. It was a timber one. It was a big place. And that's really where I first started taking care of the radio set, you know.
Was this on in the front line trench as well?
Yeah, but we ripped it out of the back.
And it was built into the back of the trench?
Yeah, it was bigger than this. A lot of timber to it.
Was this underground as well?
Yeah, it was underground. Not as far as I was. You know, but it was bigger than it. And that's where the major slept. He slept there in the command. It was the command post, so the set was there.
So you had a radio set in there. What else was in, can you remember?
Just to look at the TM, the fire, that was the biggest meeting with his lieutenants. Did a plan like that. And his bed, in his own private place, like that. I think he had like a curtain around it. So I mean, that was a suit. We didn't get disturbed because we had a Thursday night where they have a key lid and you have to sit there. And any time I've been on the gym, just started doing love it, couldn't. And I think it was there where I used to put some love in the mess tin. So I just put my eyes on that to lid. Why is that relieved, man? Now, I think I had about 2 or 4 or something like that in the night. But you have to keep doing it, and that was your lifeline.
And, and that was your job?
Yeah,
in the command force. Where was the rest of the company then in relation to your company headquarters?
At the back of the hill.
At the back of the hill. Mm-hmm. Where was the rest of the company?
Yes, there was one because in the front.
The front trenches. Were they further in front of you?
Yeah, the big hills, you know.
Right. Right, and where were they? You were at the bottom of the hill.
We were in the back, just like sort of the hill, you know.
Right. Yeah.
The other one, you know, it's 2 to 10 on the right, 3 to 10 between on the left. And they did patrols, through the mine shafts. And they did also the standard patrols. Like just outside, or no, it was inside the mine shaft. Just inside the mine shaft. And you used to have to lie there. And be quiet, you know, they couldn't. They had a set with them, like, but it had to be an emergency if you used it. If the Chinese or whatever crews, and there was a patrol coming in, you know, put patrol, see if they're not coming in. I don't think I did a patrol then, I didn't do that.
So, just talking about the general disposition of the company and the formation of the trenches. The trenches go across the back side, back end of the hill.
Like round the sides of it. You know.
Round the sides of it, yeah.
Some parts would be deeper. The newest, because enemy could see it. Some parts might be very deep, so we just have to go around. But other parts would be maybe 5 foot deep, something.
And how far back were you from that front line?
No, just not very far, not really. Just like the hilltops here. Just like on the ledge, you know, around the back. But,
what in sort of distance wise?
Oh, it was only a matter of yards, you know. Maybe 40, 50 yards in there, the circumference of the valley or something like that.
And the enemy were across the valley?
Yeah, on the other hills.
On the other hills opposite?
Yeah.
Any idea of how far away they would be? Yeah, were there any other significant features that you remember within your sector?
I'm not sure if there's a black watch on the left. I think there's a blue on the left, and I'm not sure if there's Canadians or something on the right. Princess Patricia's coming down again. I think we're on the right of this. I'm not quite sure about it. I'm not just certain the black watch was there on the left. Yeah. You know.
What other units were there? Artillery?
Yeah, we had the, not far behind there, there was these, the other keys. For goodness. We do that in. Plus a mortar platoon, other mortar platoons. And then, goodness, you know, we had them.
Where was your mortar platoon?
We were, like, so far back on the bank. You know, the mortars. We had a little mortar, but we had the leads. You know. So we were touching, we got a good fire line if we had them. We did. In that month, we did have them firing, you know, different things. I got a little bit of skirmishes. You know, not a lot, but just a little bit, you know, not a lot. Plenty of patrols out, let me be actually doing patrols out. But I say I never did one. You know, I'm really sorry I didn't do one up there. But I did the other one, I didn't do it. Not there.
Not the first time?
Yeah.
Your duties were mainly with the command posts?
Yeah, the command posts, you know, they're right there. Yeah, I think there are, that was a place that probably certain that that watch did get hit a bit. But you know, the hill was far away, couldn't do anything. See all the shells and all that. And they did get hit that time. Right? Now it would be sitting much. But I could do that.
What were conditions like in general in the front line?
Yeah, it was rough. Like, you see, you had to try and keep your space clean, your beams clean, that was better for you. Because that's when you start hearing about the lots.
How did you keep yourselves clean?
Oh, yeah, plenty of good water. You know,
how was that brought up?
It was a spring up for you. And you had the cream. And you used to carry it up for not the hills to the different teams in the water and the millions. And couldn't get to it, you used to do it for any time you weren't used to do it, if you were busy enough. Well, you got more of them. Some of them was all right. I mean, you had the game out there. You know, you know, you know. But most of them were all right, but I think. The interpreter was King His son, I think was the son of the father.
Were these Korean soldiers?
They were very, I think they were in the Rock Army, they were in the Korean Army, but they were cast as Forks for us. They weren't armed in, they were in the fight. And I don't know, they weren't some of them, but some of them, you know, but that wasn't. But that's the first time I had the. But they call their tea, it was rice. It was some toilet metal. And I remember once they go up the fish, they, what it was dried fish. And there was a bit of it, and there was a curry. Now, I wouldn't. And the rice that I had to go out, and I was all right, but maybe what they need. And I learned.
So, what was the food like? What kind of food were you getting?
Well, yeah, some was. It was like they called it kilo rations, it was amazing.
What did they consist of?
In boxes, it was cans, mash, you get some plums even out of your fruit and all that, you know. Toilet paper, little strike cigarettes in the pot, you know, and that. What they called kilo rations, toilet paper. There's all sorts in the pot. Most of the guys thought they lived on the cook, because you couldn't cook. You know, the grill, because that would be smooth, you know, like the curtain. So it really was lived on kilo rations.
Where was it heated up? With the hot meals?
It used to be like a little burner. And it had a little, I remember, like a little white tablet. It was a set fire. You put your tin of hash, or whatever it was, cornbread hash in there. What would you put on the table? Then it was out.
So you just heated them up in the
yeah.
trench there?
And we had another can right for a hot tree. And somehow, they heated on the outside, and they heated like soup inside. Was that what I was different thing about that? I mean, cigarettes used to get matches, but I never smoked, so it was easy to do. It was toilet paper and everything. I think it was all right. In the eight, all right,
what would you do with
your bread? Bread.
What did you do with your rubbish?
Well, that there was rat food too. So it was to keep there.
But obviously, I mean, you mentioned rats.
Yeah, you had to keep that out of the air, keep clean, and the roots when I had greens. You used to keep it down the hill, and you used to keep it real buried. I was sitting near it, it was on the toilets.
I was just going to ask about the toilets.
And we had to go around and make sure, you know, it was like funny and give it the burn for whatever you know. And we had to keep all that clean and all that, you know. And we did DDT or something. And the toilets as well, they didn't do underground.
Where were they in relation to your trench and your hoochies?
Yeah, they always was at the bottom of the hill again. The other lads, there's a sort of building the far end of the trench, you know, and just made it recess. That was their toilet.
So they were actually in the toilet.
You couldn't show your head. There was all the snipers. That was very tough. But that was Foster's job. That he was dreadful in the front. You have to keep digging.
Did you have to keep digging these? Did they only last so long?
I don't know. They only so long when you can actually get help with the corpse to dig the toilets that you were in. And I would just have gone off. It would only be like a tube with our dome. It used to put bricks in and stones in it. So it filtered through in it. You ran for that way. Then he kept mine, he was a good lad, man, because in himself, he was always looking for him, he was always a good lad. And yet, he liked to try and keep things clean.